This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Night number 2 from the Twilight Zone. I don't think I can name my home studio the Twilight Zone, though. As much as I feel like that would be appropriate, I want it to be a studio where I get more comfortable working. And by studio, let's just be honest, I do in fact mean my spare bedroom, where I have so far not yet moved my desk away from the corner. So I'm still staring into the corner. My mom said, can't you move the desk around so that there's something else to look at? But right now, all the cords are at least behind the desk in the corner. So I feel like it's the safest way to do things. I'm slightly more comfortable than I was last night, but still not quite there. And part of the issue is that the microphone is not the right height. So I'm still fiddling with it. If you hear all kinds of weird sounds, it's because I'm just not to the point where I'm completely comfortable with the microphone, and the mic stand is a little bit flimsy. So that's the issue. But if that's my biggest issue, you know what? That's good. If that's my biggest problem broadcasting from home, then I'm thankful. I should be thankful, and I will remain thankful. And something else that I'm thankful for is that I was inundated on both Twitter and Facebook with your messages, your kind words, your support, how much you enjoyed the show, how the show sounded essentially the same, which is funny. I didn't think it sounded the same from my house last night, just because I knew I was nervous and I was talking so fast, which I did identify, I guess, about 45 minutes into the first hour. I realized, heavens, you are talking a mile a minute, AIM. So I finally slowed down. It didn't feel the same to me, only because I know how my heart was pounding and how nervous I was about any type of technical issue and problems that I have no control over. Thankfully, none of that happened. And I'm sure that as we go through this week and on into next week and weeks ahead, because that's where we are at this particular moment, there seems to be no end in sight to the situation that we're in right now in our nation and other nations around the world. I just have to get comfortable, and I don't want it to still be a thing. I don't want it to be something I'm thinking about or that you even notice another, we'll call it 2 weeks down the road. So this is the hump show. It feels like a hump show. It's a completely different hump show. But honestly, we have a ton of news to talk about. We really do. And we're also going to have a live guest joining us 30 minutes from now. He covers the Olympic Games and Olympic sports for CBS Sports HQ. And so he will join us coming up in 30 minutes, and we'll get the latest from him. I saw the numbers. Now, I had said to you, any city that hosts the Olympics, not only do they spend years and years preparing, even a city as advanced as Tokyo, even a nation as advanced as Japan, they spend years and years getting ready to host these games. There's so many logistics that they have to work out, in addition to building infrastructure and making sure that they've got everything the athletes need, as well as the fans. But when I saw the numbers on Tuesday, I was blown away, even though I knew the numbers were high. But listen to this. the Japanese Olympic Committee and the, you know, greater area of Tokyo, as well as, you know, the country itself, has already invested $12.6 billion. That's the B word, guys. $12.6 billion into the 2020 Olympics. And now they've been postponed. Of course, they could make some of that money back, or they can recoup some of that investment once the games actually take place, hopefully in 2021. But that kind of money, it's nothing to sneeze at. You can't just cancel or postpone the Olympics without giving a ton of thought and a lot of speculation about how this could even happen moving forward. And so I feel terrible for the nation of Japan, but there are a lot of nations right now that are going through or taking economic hits, going through some economic adversity, taking economic hits. And so while I don't know that we can put a number on the effect on our economy with the coronavirus, we can certainly understand with people losing jobs and sources of income and working from home. But even if they're working from home, a lot of the business has dried up. My mom's husband, he's now working from home in Harris County, Texas. They've put a stay-at-home order in place. And so he had worked in his own office. Now, it was an office that was really devoid of a lot of people, but he was still working in his office up until Monday, but that has changed. And so now he and my mom are two crazy dogs. They're all in the same place. He has to do conference calls. She has to record math videos. The dogs never leave anyone alone. And I know that's the story for a lot of people around the United States. It's hectic and it's complicated and it's not easy. And you get all up in each other's grill. And oh, it's like a big Italian family, even if you're not Italian. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. And as I say, thank you for all your support on our social media over the last week and a half, but specifically the last 24 hours. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. But if you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that on our show Twitter. I retweeted the post that producer Chris put up so that you can send your questions there. You can also do it on our Facebook page, and it's super easy to find. I would say this is our personal logo. Ask Amy Anything in the question cloud and the bright orange box, because orange is my favorite color. So as we were talking about logos on last night's show, you all continued to send your cool and cringy logos. And I got to go back and share some of the funny minor league teams that I didn't even know existed. So we'll do that at some point during the show. Late breaking news over the last couple of hours. Actually, it might have been the last hour. Carl Anthony Towns has posted a video on Instagram, and it's also on YouTube. It's about 5.5 minutes, so we can't play the whole thing. Maybe at some point we'll be able to play back part of it later in the show. But he's revealed that his mom has coronavirus and that she and his dad were both in the hospital. His dad has since been released and has gotten better, you know, in response to the medication. But the issue with his mom has been that she would respond to the medication and then she would take a turn for the worse again. And then she would respond to medication and then she would take a turn for the worse again. And so she hasn't been able to leave the hospital. And now she's actually in a medically induced coma. And so he's worried about her for obvious reasons, even though at this point the coma is a precaution. And, you know, that the doctors, the medical team at the hospital feel that's the best thing for her, but she's on a ventilator. And he's just one story. Now, he's a famous basketball player, which means that more people are going to pay attention, similar to when, you know, Sean Payton revealed that he has coronavirus. Thankfully, Coach is getting better. I got to tell you, this is the truth. We had a guest on the show last week at some point. I don't remember what day it was. And I'm not going to tell you who it was because I don't know that part's necessary. But he made the comment that for people to take the virus more seriously, we need to have more famous people get sick. There was a part of me that got offended would be too strong of a word, but I took exception to that. I don't agree with that. I don't think that it takes famous people getting sick for us to take the virus seriously. What I do think is that when it strikes closer to home, then we take it more seriously, right? So if it becomes someone in your own family who is sick or has to go to the hospital, when it becomes a neighbor, when it's someone that you know in your town, or maybe it's not even someone you know in your town. There is actually one case of coronavirus in my town. I don't know the man. I've only been here a few years, and because of my weird hours. Oh, and because no one ever walked their dogs until this week, just me and Penn. And now it's an army and a legion of dog walkers out there every day. But that's not important. I don't know many people. I don't know this man, but I do know he's been diagnosed, and that brings it a little closer to home, right? Or when I see the numbers for New York City and how the new cases, because there are more tests going on, are growing exponentially, it's a little bit closer to home, and it then hits you a little bit harder. So I would disagree with the statement that we need more famous people to get sick. I still don't like that sentiment. But I do believe that we listen to people when they post, or they're famous people. They have, let's say, a million followers on Instagram or social media. We listen to their sentiments, and we hear what they're saying. Even if it doesn't strike us any differently, it's just a reminder still that whether you are a famous athlete, whether you're an actor like Tom Hanks and his actor wife, Rita Wilson, whether you are someone who works in Congress, and is on Capitol Hill, whatever field you're in, when I see videos or I see posts of athletes and musicians and other famous people who have tons of money, basketball players too, a few players in the NBA, it's not that I need them to get sick for me to take this seriously. But I think what it does is remind me that it doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, diseases, illnesses, cancer, that type of things, they're no respecter of person. They don't care whether or not you are rich and have a lot of money, because money cures money problems. It doesn't spare you from every other adversity that the average human being faces. So my thoughts are with Carl Anthony Towns. Again, if you'd like to see the video, it is out there. And it was posted maybe an hour, just a little over an hour ago. And he's serious. And I can put myself in his shoes and think, if it was my own mother, I don't know that I would still be where I am right now. I probably would have taken the chance and hopped on a plane and left to go to Houston. But also B, I don't know that I'd be able to hold it together the way that he is, especially if my mom was in a coma. So I think he does a really good job. He does a powerful job holding his emotions together, but also trying to encourage people that, hey, this just hit me in a way that it hasn't hit me before. This has become infinitely more serious to me. And I just want you to know that it could happen to you too. And that's the part that I think is important, is that illness, whether it's the coronavirus or some other disease, a health challenge, It doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, where you live, especially in a situation like this one. We are all susceptible if we don't take precautions. So, thinking about him and definitely praying that his mom gets better, and that this medically induced coma with the ventilator can pull her back out of harm's way. Excuse me, back to safety. So that's just one piece of news. We are going to talk about the Olympics being postponed, likely to 2021, though. Again, it's still a mass of logistics that Japan and the IOC have to figure out. But similar to March Madness and the NCAA, you can't have a Summer Olympics. You can't hold the Olympic Games if nations are saying we're not going to compete, or athletes are indicating that they will not travel to Tokyo, and they won't be there for the games. We got a lot of football news. Tom Brady doing a conference call to share his thoughts about joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And typical Tom Brady fashion, he says a lot without really saying anything. But wait until you hear his new general manager and his new head coach. They say a whole lot in just a handful of seconds, gushing over Tom Brady and the opportunity to have him wear a Buccaneers uniform creamsicle. Cam Newton officially released by the Oakland Raiders. And we had kind of talked about this with Mick Mixon of the, did I say the Oakland Raiders? Sorry about that. I don't know why I said that. By the Carolina Panthers. I was thinking ahead to my next name, which you'll understand in a second. Cam Newton officially released by the Carolina Panthers. And we had talked about this with Mick Mixon, who is the radio voice of the Panthers, and kind of looked ahead to what a team will get with a Cam Newton. The next team that has Cam, what's in store for that team? And Cam himself answered that question with a social media post on Tuesday. Now, next topic, brain and mouth were not in sync. Please forgive me. The Raiders, Marcus Mariota, who's now their next quarterback, second quarterback. I'm not really sure how to describe him. Is he second on the depth chart? We don't know. He says he is. He does his first interview since joining the Raiders. So we have a lot of football news.
Mariota.
Oh, gosh. And the latest on the NFL draft. Thank you, Dave. Dave in studio reminding we also have a fight going on right now over the NFL draft, interestingly enough. Oh, and right on cue, as I'm getting ready to wrap up my first segment, my cat leaps into my chair and decides that she needs to be sitting where I am sitting. I know we all have cat problems, and actually pet problems. I think my pets are confused about A, why I'm talking so much when I'm here, and B, why am I here so much? My poor dog was tired all day long. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Coming up next, absolutely want you to hear from Tom Brady. Wait until you hear a gushing Bruce Arians. And then a little bit later in this hour, we'll get the latest deets on the Olympics. It's our hump show. Night number two from the home studio that has yet to be named. I haven't decided on a name yet, but we'll get there.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Those were the days. Tom Brady, 20 years in a Patriots uniform, but not anymore. And while we don't have the visual to go along with the audio, because no one's allowed to get together right now for any type of press conference, Brady was, quote unquote, introduced to the Buccaneers media and introduced as a Buccaneers quarterback on Tuesday when he did a conference call. And I wondered whether or not he and the general manager and the head coach were in the same place, or if they were in different rooms in the same building, or if they're just wherever their homes are. I kind of wondered about the setting, kind of like you wonder what it looks like where I am right now, broadcasting from my home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin Kugler, the play-by-play voice on the Westwood One radio network. You can hear the excitement in Brady's voice. You can tell he's got a new energy. He's looking forward to this fresh start. And that's not a knock on New England, but put yourself in his shoes. How often is it that a job we have, maybe a position that we've been in, it gets a little old, it gets a little stale. We start to lose our fervor. Maybe we start to lose some of our excitement about going into work. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't want to do well at that job. It doesn't mean that we don't want to succeed or that we don't like the people who are working with. It just means that change is good. Now, not as much change as we've gone through over the past 3 weeks, mind you. That's like a blitz of change that keeps our heads spinning. But in the case of Tom Brady, just like me, not ever been in one place for longer than 10 years in my career. In fact, never been in one place longer than 8 years in my career. I can understand why he's got this extra energy and excitement in his voice as he talks about being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
It's an exciting moment for me in my life. Just entering something that's obviously very unique to me, is it's the first time it's happened in 20 years. So I'm kind of taking it day by day. And, the expectation for me is to come in and do what, I feel is, right for the organization. Has to be a great team player, And I'm going to try to do everything I can to get up to speed with all the things that I need to do and what my responsibilities are. I obviously have a ton of trust and respect for Coach Arians, you know, for what Jason and what he's done to build the team and organization as is now. And, you know, I'm thankful to the Glazer family to give me an opportunity. And as I said the other day, I look forward to meeting all my teammates and just doing everything I can you know, for us to achieve what we set out. And there's a lot of things that go into it. And, you know, as soon as we can get those things going, the great will be for everybody. But understanding the circumstance of what we're dealing with, that's we're in a little different approach and we have to adjust, as is. That's what happens in football and in life. And that's what my plan is.
When I hear Tom Brady, especially there at the end, what I think of is wheels already turning. What I think of is anxious to get started. I feel like you can hear him, hey, this is a new challenge, not just moving to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but not having the ability to start throwing with his receivers, to start working with his coach other than Zoom meetings. How many people out there, tell the truth, how many people out there have used Zoom or Google Hangouts or Skype, any one of these video chats where you can load a bunch of people in and you can have people from all over the country or from your own neighborhood connected via a video conferencing? I actually have a small group from my church that I get together with routinely on Wednesday nights, but we're not meeting right now. And they all have this whole Zoom set up. And I know this is a bit of a tangent. I'll get back to Brady in a second. They keep inviting me, which I don't mind. It would be nice to see their faces, except that I feel like I spend my entire life online now. And I don't know that I want to spend another 2 hours online looking at people. Oy. Anyway, then I might have to put on makeup. Yikes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to talk some Olympics coming up with CBS Sports HQ, Jeff Metcalf, who covers the Olympics and Olympic sports. And so we'll get the latest and kind of the logistical nightmare that's taking place with these summer games that have been officially postponed. But back to Tom Brady. What about his message to New England? Because even more than hearing about his choice to join the Buccaneers, which we really didn't get a whole lot from him, he's not going to tell us all the reasons why he made the leap. More than that, though, trust me, people care about why he left New England, not so much about where he went. So he did have a shorter message for New England.
I have nothing but total respect and love. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates.
He's not going to tell you much, but at least it's positive. At least he's taking the high road, which I wouldn't have expected anything different from Brady. He's as private as he can be. I mean, he's on Twitter now. He's on Instagram, and he likes to put out kind of cryptic messages. He likes to toy with the fans, and he likes to share his sense of humor on social media. But there was no way he was going to depart without saying something positive. There's no way he's going to air his dirty laundry in public because he's the kind of guy who hates that. And I don't even know. Let's just say for the sake of argument, which it's like 1,000-to-1 chance this would ever happen, that Bill Belichick would air his dirty laundry. I feel like he's less likely to say anything than Brady is, which makes sense since Brady grew up in the school of Bill Belichick. I feel like even if Bill did say something, Brady probably wouldn't respond in kind. Maybe 40 years down the road when one of them is writing a book. Okay, 40 would be that. Yeah, I don't know if anyone will still care in 40 years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, you can hear the gushy quality when General Manager Jason Light and Head Coach Bruce Arians talk about having Tom Brady in the fold.
Tom is quite simply the greatest quarterback to play the game of football. And anytime you can add someone of his caliber, you instantly make your organization better.
Obviously, really never dreaming that Tom would be available, but if he was going to be our number one choice, mainly because he can make everything. He can do everything we want to do on our offense, but more than that is his leadership ability.
Of course, that's really critical for Bruce Arians, who expects his quarterback to be an extension of himself on the field. I'm anxious to see how that combination works and what they do to tweak the offense from no risk it, no biscuit to fit Tom Brady's skill set. So there's a lot of questions, but we finally get to hear from Tom. You can hear, I think, the new energy in his voice, though. Again, he's not going to say a whole lot that's controversial. If you want to find us on social media now, we still have a poll up, even as we head into our next break. We had started asking you this last night. When do you think baseball will resume? And so if you want to take the poll, it's on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then on our Facebook page, too. And I was so intrigued by the answers. There's really not one answer that stands out above all the others that I thought we might dive into that a little bit. So once we talk with our Olympics insider, then we'll maybe throw out our baseball question for you. In the meantime, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, either on Twitter or Facebook. Our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Glad to have you on board. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for reassuring me that the show still sounds as normal, whatever normal is these days, as normal as possible, or what you're used to.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, our middle show of the work week. And here we are, roughly 2 weeks into the coronavirus as far as its impact on sports. Remember March Madness, the NBA, the NHL, that was roughly 2 weeks ago. And still we have every single day another event either canceled or postponed. And now we're talking deeper and deeper into 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Jeff Metcalf covers the Olympics for AZ Central Sports and has been a guest on CBS Sports HQ, which is how we were able to connect with him. Jeff, why did the IOC decide to make the decision now, almost immediately on the heels of saying it could take 4 weeks?
Yeah, hi, Amy. You probably remember that last weekend, I don't want to necessarily call it an athlete revolt, but there was a lot of pushback from groups like USA Swimming, USA Track, and that eventually spread to countries like Canada, Australia, and others that basically said, essentially Canada said, we're not going to go if you're going to hold the Olympics at the allotted time, the scheduled time. So when it got to that point, pretty much this was going to be inevitable anyway, but it really pushed the IOC to act faster than maybe they wanted to, because they were trying to work out a lot of the, I think, logistical things. And mm-hmm. they felt like, if I wouldn't say bide their time, but that they could try to do some things to maybe get themselves organized in terms of a rescheduling before they came out with an official announcement of a postponement. But I think the athletes did the right thing, and certainly some of the countries stepping up and doing what they did, especially Canada and Australia, I think made a huge difference in fast-forwarding this.
This is a loaded question, I recognize, Jeff, but what is the biggest challenge in postponing the Olympic Games, an undertaking, an event that maybe is larger than any other sporting event in the world?
Yeah. It really is. And that, you know, with all respect to the World Cup, when you're talking about every country in the world, 33 sports, 153 countries, 11,000 athletes. I mean, there's a reason that they give you 7 years to prepare for the Olympics after they award it to you, because it's such a massive undertaking. So when you think about trying to now say we've got to basically redo this a year later than it was originally scheduled, there's just all kinds of scheduling issues. The whole world of international sports, you know, they try to say the Olympics is every year, not just every 4 years. Well, what they mean by that is these international sports have all of their competitions in the ensuing years between Olympics. Mm. And in 2021, for example, the World Track Championships and the World Swimming Championships are among the events that are scheduled to be held that year. And those are huge money makers for those particular sports, because they have control of them, unlike the Olympics, which is under the control of the IOC. So there's just so many things that have to be done. It's incredible, really, to even think about how you're going to reschedule everything. And you know, you then you mesh in all the sponsorships, all the TV contracts, not just NBC, but the TV, prime TV networks around the world that put on the Olympics. And it's just a massive undertaking to try to reschedule this. Somebody compared it to turning around an aircraft carrier and trying to make it go the other direction. And that's probably just even a modest comparison.
Jeff Metcalf is joining us from Arizona, covers the Olympics and Olympic sports with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. At this point, has the IOC even thrown out some alternate dates for 2021?
Well, they've said no later than summer of 2021. I think the most logical thing is the same time frame, because if you think about everything that's going to be happening once we hit next year, let's just use the NBA as an example. Whatever they finish up this year, then when they start again, if you were to say have an Olympics in May, you're going to have major issues with NBA players. In fact, you probably won't have NBA players playing in the Olympics. And that's just one example. I mean, there are all kinds of scheduling issues, even if you hold it in the time frame in 2021 that you would have this year. But I think that's the one that makes the most sense and probably the one that'll end up being. I have heard some people talking about May because it won't be as hot. They had already moved the Olympic marathons out of Tokyo, and they were going to be held in Sapporo, which is in the northern part of Japan, 500 miles away, because of the expected heat in Tokyo. So there's some logic behind maybe holding it earlier in the year, but I'm just not sure when it's all said and done they're really going to be able to do that.
Right, for sure. I was reading a column today, and it wasn't actually a sports column. It was more about the financial impact on Japan. And I knew it was billions of dollars that countries invested, but the number that was in this particular column was $12.6 billion already invested by the nation of Japan. And that because of the money that Japan expected to make, it could actually reduce their GDP, their gross domestic product, by 1.4%, like the growth of it, slow it down enough that it could really make a dent. So what happens now? I mean, how does this affect the economy, as best you can tell, by having a delay?
Well, the $12.6 billion is basically the money that they're basically pinning on the operating budget. The other money that includes infrastructure improvements, venues, and whatnot, I think people think the total bill right now in Japan is over $25 billion that they've invested in the Olympics. So there's always two different budgets, really. You're talking about the operating budget and the total budget for the entire country to undertake this. So, obviously, you're not going to be able to recoup that in 2020. And you know, not to mention just what's going on worldwide economy because of the virus. So, all you can do really is bite the bullet and hope that when you come back around next year, sort of the pent-up demand for an Olympics is going to make it an even bigger event, I guess, and that you can recoup some of it that way. But you've got a lot of things that are going to have to be paid for in that ensuing year. You've got venues that have to be taken care of. You've got a lot of sponsorship issues. Just there's so many things that are going to be involved there's going to be extra costs involved. And I don't think anyone knows right now how to really quantify that.
Jeff Metcalf of AZ Central Sports covers the Olympics, and you may have seen him on CBS Sports HQ. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. In your conversations with Olympians who have been preparing for these games, and I mean before the postponement, what do they say about trying to train in the current climate?
Yeah, well, I think that's where it was coming down. It's interesting you mentioned about 2 weeks since this all kind of started. March 12th was the date of the NCAA canceling the basketball tournament, the spring and winter championships.
Right.
And that kind of did have an effect on all this, because now suddenly facilities that a lot of these – I'm just kind of talking in the U.S. sense right now – that a lot of these U.S. athletes were using were no longer available. I know here in Arizona, Bob Bowman, who was Michael Phelps' coach all through his Olympic career, he's now the swim coach at Arizona State. He was able to train with some of his pro athletes, but he wasn't able to train his college athletes that are getting ready for the trials. And that was really a lot of the big problem, that immediate problem, was a lot of the qualifying events that were scheduled to be held were either being canceled, postponed. Nobody knew, you know, whether they were going to be able to hold them, you know, in any kind of, you know, meaningful way, really leading up to what was supposed to happen in July.
Sure.
So that's where a lot of it got to be, where the athletes were kind of saying, we just can't do this. We can't find the facilities. We can't get in pools. We can't get in gyms. We don't know when we're going to be able to actually go do the events we're supposed to do. And then I just think the general unease with doing this in the midst of the coronavirus, like, you know, we shouldn't be doing this, but we feel compelled to do it. That's where the athletes were kind of caught in a quandary in all this, and they didn't like that. And I think that's where they kind of spoke up. And we've seen that happening a lot with athletes, especially professional athletes. It's a little bit less organized when it comes to these Olympic athletes, but I think they're even kind of finding their voice now and say, hey, we're stakeholders in this too.
Sure. So, Jeff, what about older athletes? When you and I know there are thousands of them, but are there a couple or maybe some that you've talked to or that you can think of who this might actually affect them? A full year, you know, delay might take away their opportunity to compete at all?
Well, for sure. I think the number that the IOC is using is that about 57% of the athletes are qualified already for Japan.
Okay.
So that leaves a large amount. So even if you go ahead and forward all them into 2021, that leaves a lot of athletes still to qualify. And there's all kinds of issues with that because, you know, in gymnastics, for example, there's an age limit that you're not eligible to compete until you reach a certain age. Well, now with another year, there's going to be additional people that are going to be eligible to try to compete. So how do you deal with something like that? Mm. Then at the other end, they just held the U.S. marathon trials as an example, and one of the people who qualified is a marathoner here from Arizona who's 43 years old. It's an unbelievable story. His name is Abdi Rahman. He lives in Tucson. He qualified for his fifth Olympics at 43. So,
wow.
You know, now, another year later, he's going to have to go where, you know, it would have only been 4 months for him to get ready to go compete in Japan. Now he's got to hold it all together and be ready to compete a year from now. I mean, 16 months from now. So, you know, it's really at both ends. You've got younger athletes that are going to be coming up and challenging where they might not have been ready to do it this year, but could be in 2021. And then you're going to have older athletes. Even Simone Biles is 23 years old. That's old for gymnastics. Now, she's unbelievable. I don't think anybody thinks that she wouldn't go to Japan next year when she's 24 and still probably win everything in sight. But, you know, every year that goes by for someone even like Simone, it's more difficult. You're more susceptible to injury, and things could happen that you could have controlled for this next short period here. Now you've got a much longer period to try to work through that.
Right. Wow. Really good information, Jeff. I appreciate it. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Metcalf, Metcalfe. Covers Arizona State and right now embroiled in a lot of Olympics coverage. But it's great to catch up with you. Thank you for a couple of minutes. I really appreciate your insight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wow, good stuff with Jeff, right? And the numbers are overwhelming as he's talking about the number of athletes, the number of countries that send athletes. If I remember correctly, he said 153 countries. Okay, well, I'm going to go back and get the numbers specifically so I can write them all down because I want to tweet them. But the Olympic Games themselves generally feature between 1,700 and let's see, he said 17,000 athletes overall. The U.S. Olympic team is generally about 1,750 to 1,800. So you're talking about just one country with all of those people being affected. And then think about it with the 17,000, which I think is what he said for the number of athletes. I started to write it down and then he had all these other numbers and I got lost in my numbers. But I'm going to go back and make sure that I jot those down so I can put them in a tweet. But yeah, to me, that's fascinating. And as someone who, you know, is kind of trying to wrap my brain around the magnitude. I mean, we're just at the beginning now of them dealing with the various layers, the financial and the economic, not just for the nation of Japan and for the city and the region of around Tokyo, but also for the athletes who've spent so much money training who may not be able to compete next year. Or as he talked about, older athletes who are hanging on or will have to requalify. I mean, there's so much there. And yet, at the base of it all, you don't want to have your athletes in a situation where they are at risk or where it's an uneven playing field. And we had talked about that on last night's show, where you had athletes from the U.S. Olympic Committee, after going through a survey with the USOC, you'd had athletes telling the U.S. Olympic Committee that, you know, while they understood, you know, why it was so difficult to postpone, yada, yada, at the same time, they didn't feel like holding the games in this atmosphere was even fair, that you were going to have places around the country where some athletes could continue to train, could continue to work toward this goal of the Olympics, whereas athletes in the United States, maybe in Italy, in South Korea, in other nations that have been hit hard by the coronavirus, even if they're back to their routines now. So in South Korea, they're able to, you know, kind of see the bright light. Now they're on the other side. Same thing in China. You had a big lull in their training for a couple of months. And that's kind of what the United States and Canada are going through right now, and other nations that are just dealing with the start of the coronavirus pandemic. And so the ripple effects across the world are leaving athletes at a very uncertain time. So good stuff with Jeff. You definitely follow him on Twitter. He's got great information. I'm going to go back and get those numbers so that I can put them out there. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get to those in the middle of our hump show. Straight ahead, there's a fight between the NFL and the general managers over the draft. Will it take place at the same time a month from now?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.